You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. We are continuing our conversation in the series Overcoming Life Sorrows, learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House, Dr. Reed Lessing. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Reed Lessing. He's professor of theology and ministry and director of the Center for Biblical Studies at Concordia University, St. Paul, and author of Overcoming Life's Sorrows, Learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Lessing, welcome back.
Good to be here.
All right, today's a fun chapter. As we're taking a look at overcoming life sorrows today, we're going to take a look at overcoming through taking risks in chapter 21. So is this the Head to Vegas chapter? No, probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what you meant by taking risks. That's probably not what God meant by taking risks. So what does God's message to Jeremiah and exiles in Babylon mean specifically for them?
Yeah, right. A wonderful question to start our time in chapter 21 of my book and chapter 32 in Jeremiah's book. Overcoming life's sorrows. So a lot of sorrows in life wound us, and it's as though, I like baseball, so I'll use a baseball analogy. You know, we were playing shortstop, and we were on a winning team, and everything was going great, and then we got hurt. And now we have to go through rehab for 9 months, and we have to sit in the dugout, and we have to go through physical therapy, and we have trainers, and we have to go to the weight room, blah, 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 right? What's it going to be like the first time we step out on the field again? Oh, boy, I might get hurt again. You know, I wrecked up my left knee, and that's why I was on rehab in the dugout. But wow, this could happen again. I could just shatter my left knee or my right knee on the first play. So what happens when we're hurt deeply is we don't want to get back in the game. We don't want to take a step back on the field, because then we expose ourselves again to more pain and disappointment and sorrow.
Vulnerability. And we talk about physical pain in this example, but this is true of relationships as well, right?
If we've been in relationships. Oh, no doubt. And those are the hardest. Those are the hardest. Because given time, of course, it didn't take Adam and Eve a whole lot of time, but given time, any relationship is going to be stressed, right? Unless you just, you know, it's superficial, you don't get to know people very well. But I'm thinking here of families and churches and businesses, right? A lot of us, we, you know, we're enmeshed with other people, and those people aren't perfect. And so they're going to disappoint us, sometimes deeply so. So the temptation is to say, well, you know, fool me once, right? Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? So you're not going to fool me again. You're not going to get me again. You did it once, and now I'm going to come and I'm going to be guarded and aloof, and I'm not going to roll up my sleeves and get engaged again, because I know where that's going to land me, on the injured reserve list again.
So what is Jeremiah's story of taking risks?
Yeah, so the setting in Jeremiah chapter 32 is 588 BC, and Nebuchadnezzar, the great Babylonian king who appears in numerous verses in Jeremiah and other places, right? Especially Daniel chapter 4. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, Nebuchadnezzar has now laid siege to Jerusalem. That is to say, the Babylonian soldiers have surrounded the city of David, and they're just waiting for the white flag, right? They're waiting for conditions to get bad enough where people are going to say, enough is enough, we surrender. So Jeremiah is now in Jerusalem. It's 588 BC. He's in prison thanks to the last Judean king before the exile, King Zedekiah. And his cousin, one Hanamel, who we know really nothing about before Jeremiah 32 or after, comes kind of like, I use this analogy in my book, as a used car salesman, and says, Jeremiah, have I got have I got a deal for you. Only it's not a car, it's a field in Jeremiah's hometown of Anathoth, just a couple miles north of Jerusalem. And Hanamel says, hey, you know, I think what you should do with all your savings and money, Jeremiah, is buy this field. Forget that the Babylonians are knocking on the door. Forget that the military is getting ready to enact Nebuchadnezzar's scorched earth policy. Go ahead, take a risk, buy the field, get in the game. That's the setting.
So what is this encouragement then to take a risk? What does this mean then for Jeremiah to take a risk? Where does that lead?
Right. I mean, it has to be my favorite chapter in the book, because it's such a leap of faith. So for 31 chapters, essentially, Jeremiah has been preaching, and this is the theme of the book. It's in his call from God in chapter 1, verse 10 of Jeremiah, where God says, see, I am appointing you this day over nations and kingdoms to uproot, tear down, destroy, or throw, to build and to plant. Our listeners can hear the law gospel polarity there, right? Uproot, tear down, destroy, overthrow. Babylon, law, judgment. The covenant Sinai is broken. Here come the Babylonian hordes. But also, right, to build and plant. There's a hope. There's a future. Jeremiah 29:11, right? Gospel words. So Jeremiah says there's life beyond Babylon. And that's kind of easy to preach, but now he's going to demonstrate that there is going to be a future for Judah beyond 588, 587. And how do we know that? The building and planting, well, if you're going to build and plant, you need land to do that. So Jeremiah is literally putting his money where his mouth is.
So he was given some risks to engage, some real estate to purchase.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the risks, the message, the plan for Jeremiah was pretty specific, that the risks that he was given to take, that God gave for him to take, were pretty specific for Jeremiah. But what does this mean then for us? Because I always like to think about what it means for me, because I'm a sinful human being and I always want to know what it means for me.
Yeah, so there's a danger when we are attempting to overcome from life's sorrows to get back too quickly, right? To go back to my earlier St. Louis Cardinal baseball analogy, right? Gosh, if you know, you all three ligaments of your knee are torn and you've got ruptured meniscus, don't try and swing a bat the next day, right? So we do need to take time after a sorrow to reassess what happened, what our part was, maybe what other people's part was, to study scripture and see what God has to say about restoration and renewal, to seek godly counsel. And so that takes time. So I think the question for a lot of people is, how much time, right? Should this be a six-month hiatus? Should I re-engage the person next week? You know, what am I going to do with all of this? So on the one hand, we might enter into the fray too quickly. And then what happens? Well, we're just probably going to repeat the same drama, right? Let's say it's with a 16-year-old, you know, teenager. And, you know, there was a kind of a big blow up. And you get back into the nitty-gritty too quickly without the right tools to handle the next blow up, and it's all going to go south. Conversely, the main emphasis in Jeremiah chapter 32 is at some point you got to get back in the game, right? Don't retire, right? Don't shut down. There's still life to live, right? And if you're going to live life, what are the two letters in the middle of the word life, right? IF, if. Life is one big if. There are guarantees in the gospel. I mean this sincerely. Thanks be to God, right? Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Paul is going to list 10 things that will never separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So not all of life is if, but most is, right? And so Jeremiah says, at some point for your sake, right? For your spiritual and emotional health, you got to, you know, put on the cleats and get the glove out and take your bat and helmet and get on out there. You may very well get hurt again. You may be disappointed again. But if you've given yourself enough time to learn, right, from what first puts you in the dugout, then the next time it may be painful, but you'll be in a better space, right, to handle that. So this is the tension I think that a number of people are living with right now, right? Not everyone is trying to, right, recover from an injury, either a physical or emotional or relational, but a number of people are. So I'll conclude with this. How do we know it's the right time? Here, I don't want to sound too much like, you know, there'll be a quiver in your liver and an ocean of emotion, but you'll know, pray about it, read your Bible, seek godly counsel, trust that God will line up the right time, the right place, the right people. You'll say, okay, this is the day, this is the week, this is the month, I'm ready to go. I haven't been perfected through my time on the sidelines, but I've made progress. See, so don't put perfection in front of your goal, right? It's not going to happen in this life. But have you made progress? And you'll know. I'm confident you'll know. All right.
It seems to me, this is just my observation, but it seems like most of the ifs, if not all of the ifs in life, are really in the temporal things, whereas the eternal things, all the promises of God are yes in Jesus. They're not really ifs if they're in Jesus.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that. Exactly. Thinking about the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, forgive us our trespasses, etc. Those are all rock solid. The fourth petition, though, give us this day our daily bread, of course, that's, you know, just to reiterate what you're saying, that's where the ifs are, right? Daily bread, house, home, field, flock, family, government, weather. That's where the ifs are. And that's life. That's life. Yeah. Yeah.
All those temporal things are full of ifs, but everything in Jesus, everything eternal is certainly rock solid.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but so when Jeremiah buys the field, getting back to Jeremiah 32, he lands on the rock solid eternal promises of God. All right. In fact, in chapter 32, he says, the God who made heaven and earth, nothing is impossible with him. Right. And so that's like rock solid stuff. And Jeremiah is going to dip into certainly other parts of his book before chapter 32 and recall them. Right. Like in chapter 31, God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I could go on and on all the rock solid promises in the book. But that's what is bracing Jeremiah to, you know, kind of roll the dice and buy the field.
We are taking a look at overcoming life sorrows, learning from Jeremiah. We're in chapter 21 today, overcoming through taking risks with the Reverend Dr. Reed Blessing. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Abby Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. We are in Overcoming Life Sorrows, Learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House with the Reverend Dr. Reed Blessing. We're in Chapter 21 today, Overcoming Through Taking Risks. Now, last week in Chapter 18, we talked about kind of separating from society or becoming a hermit, and that was certainly not what God wanted them to do, and nor does he want that for us to either to disconnect from society or to disconnect from relationships, but rather to live in community. Why does God care if we disconnect from society and relationships with others?
Yeah, probably at least a couple of things come to mind. First of all, we're not going to be able to get on the other side of life's sorrows if we're going to live life like a lone ranger. We need one another, right? Iron sharpens iron. We are placed baptismally into the body of Christ. So we need one another. We need not just one another's advice and wisdom, but you know, we need the fun times, the carefree times. We need time with other people. And second of all, right, this is the way we are able to witness to people, you know, if we're with them, right? So I want my life, this is a wonderful phrase in a Martin Franzmann hymn in Lutheran Service Book. I want my life to be a high doxology. I don't want to be completely destroyed by my sorrows. So when I'm with people and I can be honest and open and hopeful, that's good for them too. So it's a two-way street when it comes to doing life, especially in sorrows with other people. Hmm.
So then what does this mean for us, for followers of Jesus today, to take risks?
Yeah, right, right. It means that, just to be kind of simplistic, you know, life gives us two options, right? We can either hunker down and kind of put a steel plate around our heart so it's not hurt again, or we can go out and, you know, wear our heart on our sleeve. Not to everybody, not in every situation, but this is what Jeremiah does. I mean, literally. I mean, he's a very transparent, vulnerable, emotional, relational person, the most in the whole Old Testament. So there's a number of people who have obviously articulated this better than I can right now. But I remember a part in one of C.S. Lewis's book that says, you know, you can take your heart and you know, put it in, like, you know, a cabinet or in a safe, right? And then put it in a room and turn out all the lights in the room. And that heart will never be broken by another person. Conversely, that heart is going to die in time, right? So the other option is to, you know, take your heart out and risk it, risk relationships, risk being honest with people, risk speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Have both truth and love as we reengage after a huge setback in life. Yeah, and of course, the biblical example is not just Jeremiah, right? But my gosh, Paul gets knocked down a number of times in the book of Acts, right? What does he do? He doesn't retire, right? Back in Tarsus, he, by the grace of God, he keeps investing, right? I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Paul says that we are most gladly to spend and be spent, right? And that's with the Corinthians. This is like a preacher killer church, right, in Corinth. And the best example, right, is Jesus. That Jesus in his ministry, right? He's ignored. He's going to be abused emotionally with words. Certainly he's going to be spit upon and spiked on Good Friday. But Jesus still stays engaged, right? Even to the very end, right? He's looking after his mother, Mary, and his disciple, John. He's forgiving people. He is commending his spirit to his Father. So here is someone in the most extreme sorrow ever. And Jesus isn't dialing down or stepping back. He's completely present, even on the cross on Good Friday.
To be clear, we're not talking about taking risks for the sake of financial gain or achieving the American dream. We're not talking about taking risks for the sake of a thrill, but rather taking risks for the sake of... For the sake of what?
For the sake of the glory of God, right? So, yeah, we are called upon, we're empowered, right, to reflect the image of Jesus. That's what it means to live to the glory of God. And so, but there you go. Here's Jesus, lives a life of not reckless risks, right? It's always, you know, well thought out, prayed about, and yet, it's a life of risk. And really, kind of going back to our earlier part of the conversation on overcoming through taking risks, in a sense, and I don't want to say this like lightly or flippantly, but kind of at the end of the day, right, because the spiritual components of life in the gospel of Jesus are a solid foundation, right? We finally don't have anything to lose on that side of life, which is the most important part of life. So if anyone is empowered and enlivened to take risks, it would be the follower of Jesus, right? Yeah, that's how I'd put it.
Any final thoughts about chapter 21, overcoming through taking risks today?
Yeah, my last thought would be this, is Jeremiah never lives to see the post-Babylonian world of Judah. At the end of the book, he's forcibly exiled in Egypt, and we assume that's where he dies. What's that tell us about Jeremiah and his field experience in chapter 32 of his book? Is some of the risks and some of the investments we make, we won't live to see, right, the full ramifications. You know, you and I will probably never see our great-great-grandchildren, right? We're investing in them right now by the lives we lead, by the love we have for our children or grandchildren, right? So I think that's an important piece to our impact that we want to leave in the name of Jesus, is the risks, the investments we make now, they're long-term. Some are short-term, like we've been talking about, teenagers or relationships, but some are long-term. They're going to outlive us. So think about your legacy and your investments today and the risky investments today and how that's going to impact future generations. And with that, you're on a wonderful road of faith and life.
Overcoming through taking risks, chapter 21 of Overcoming Life Sorrows, learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Reid Lessing, professor of theology and ministry and director of the Center for Biblical Studies at Concordia University, St. Paul. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on this series.
Thank you, Andy.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.